And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, although we're going to visit verse 5 again. The two offerings, one from Cain and one from Abel, were presented to the Lord. Abel's offering, which was the best he had, was accepted by God. Cain's offering was simply came from what he had made, was rejected. Because of this rejection, Cain became angry and dejected. Unchecked anger and feelings of dejection and rejection can lead to multiple problems of sin. Next, God tells Cain, you'll be accepted if you respond in the right way. This is a profound lesson for every Christian now, as well as every person who's walked the earth or is walking the earth. God's not looking for perfection in this right now. He's all about redemption now. So that's why we depend on the blood of Jesus to make us right. But what God is looking for is the right response to him. That's what he's looking for. And finally, Cain can't handle the word of God or doesn't respond with the right spirit or attitude. And because of this, he devises another plan. Instead of obeying God, he thinks, I'm going to kill my brother. That way, if I kill him, my offering will have to look better than his because he'll be dead and he won't be able to offer anything. Yes, that sounds ridiculous. And yes, that's pretty much the rationale of all sin. It might sound brilliant in a polluted mind, but the truth is it only results in death.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. You're going to get a lot of those this hour. Spiritual observations. A few of those. My life's insanities. A ton of those. And oy vey, so much more. Now remember something. This is not professional radio. I mean, there are two people in this studio area, Jacob and myself, who can absolutely define for you not professional. What would you say? Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yep.
Okay, nope, there personal. You go. Excellent job. Here's what it is. Maybe you want to reach out to us and email us. Email's pretty safe, right? All right, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. No lists, no anything. Nobody takes your email. Nobody does anything weird. Doesn't work that way. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Yes, I know. It's called the telephone. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
Aww.
Aww.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday, and welcome back.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate that. We're going to go into prayer right away, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to share a couple of things with you. But Roslyn and Robert need prayer right away. They've got some battles going on, and we want to make sure to pray for them. They're part of us and a part of our family, and want to definitely pray for that, as well as we need to be praying for everybody else. But this is a specific and timely prayer, so let's pray it right now. Father, we come before you right now with absolute thanksgiving. I just have such rejoicing in my heart because your kindness outpaced anything else, and it always does. And so we lift up Rosalind and Robert to you. You know the situation. There's nobody that has to tell you a single thing about it. But because you know, and because these are your kids, and because we have confidence in you and in your faithfulness, we specifically ask you to help them in this procedure. They're just trying to, Lord, they've made it clear. They're just trying to walk the path that you desire them to walk. So light it up. Light up their path. Encourage them. Don't let them get discouraged. A lot of us are facing discouragement from different situations. Lord, we're too focused on these situations. We're not focused on you. In 100 years, nothing that we're doing on this earthly realm is going to matter the way it's going to be when we're with you. So help them to keep the focus. Give them clarity. Give them insight, make the path clear, and encourage them. Let them not be afraid, but be encouraged. And Lord, I want to pray that right now for a lot of people, that they're discouraged, that things haven't gone the way that they thought or the way that they want. But Lord, you're not going to allow things just to happen, just to come against us. You're not going to allow the enemy just to beat on us for no reason. There's always a purpose. There's always a reason as to what you're doing and what you're weaving into our lives. So for us, help our trust in you in these events to move up, not down, but up, and help us to keep focused on you so it can stay moved up. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so we got a lot to cover, and for those that don't know, we are actually in the book of Genesis, which is fabulous, and we're going to get to it in a second. We're going to do our DNA in a little bit, but I do want to just make sure everybody knows that we have made our move. For those that are unaware, I have been commuting from Fate, Texas to Irving, Texas, for 5 years and 2 months. Was it March, April? 5 years and 1 month. And for those that do not know and think, well, that doesn't seem very long because it's only 37 miles. It is, but it's 37 California miles, which means this. Hey, I've seen that piece of gum on the freeway before. Hey, look, that broken pencil is still in the same spot and the same marker. Hey, it's been that way for 5 years. Okay, you get it? Okay, is that making it clear? Is that a pretty good way to communicate? And for those that do not know, the record was set in the last 8 weeks when it took me 4 hours and 5 minutes to get home. Don't tell me that's not a long time. I could have gone to Tennessee and come back. I mean, you got to be kidding. Anyway, so we have relocated. We've relocated for a couple of reasons, but that is one of the reasons was the drive. The other reason was because Noelle wanted to switch into a different district. For those that don't know about Noelle, she's a floral manager with Tom Thumb. She loves flowers. She loves creating. She's totally awesome at it. And so she's going to take another position as a designer with a different district. She already texted me and said things are looking great. So I'm very, very excited. I'll find out later on today. The other thing that I think you should know, which is really cool, is driving into work today is the first time I've ever come to the studio and did it under 30 minutes. So if you think I'm a happy guy, you'd be right.
How happy did you feel when you pulled into the parking lot?
I didn't even try because it's the first route, first time I take it. And I'm like, nice. So I didn't even do all my bad driving. I just drove regular.
Yep.
And it was under 30 minutes. I'm thinking, hello.
I bet that was a relief. Hopefully it stays that way it eventually turn into 4 hours.
I mean, if it does, then we'll move in another six years. So
just eventually just move into the station.
Yeah. put the station in the house. just what we're gonna do. So I'm just letting everyone know what's going on, and then I'll give you the deets. The deets. That's what they say, right? The deets, like the details, the deets or something. Isn't that what people say? I don't know.
Yeah, that's like the hip way to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you're hip, David.
Yeah. No, what hurts is my hip. Not I am hip. We'll talk about that as well. But for those that don't know, my drive home is estimated to be at, and you guys are think this is long, which is hilarious to me, is estimated to be at the 38-minute mark. So I'm not.
And what was it before, usually?
An hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, so you're saving over an hour.
That's one way. Yep. We'll just deal with that later on. So
I'm sure it feels like you're, compared to what how far you were before, I'm sure it feels like a five-minute drive.
I'm thinking if we would have went into a one-bedroom apartment, that might have been a good move. That's how serious I am about this. All right, now, before we go anywhere else, we are going to do our trivia question, we are going to do our DNA, and we are going to launch into some of the teachings. I want to get into some of that. So I'll get into other stuff. We'll do as much as we can today, but there's a lot to share because there's a lot that's happened. Plus, one thing that was so weird, I'm waiting to see the moment when I should share it, but it was a lot of grace after a lot of frustration. Let me just say that. I'm sure nobody knows what I'm talking about. But all right, anyway, let's go back into this. So the next thing I want to do is I want to do the trivia. Okay, so let's get ready for the trivia question. Now, these are not the easiest trivia questions, so I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to tell you what the phrase is, and then I'm going to give you two books to pick from and the actual reference. Not the book reference, the number reference, and you have to look it up. From which book comes the phrase, wolf in sheep's clothing? Is that from Matthew 7:15 or John 7:15? Which book contains the phrase, wolf in sheep's clothing? Matthew 7:15 or John 7:15? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. In the meantime, we will do our DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. So I'm thinking about this. Is that on a daily basis, or is that on a weekly basis or a monthly basis? So when you say daily, aren't we talking 24-hour cycles?
Yes, we are.
Doesn't that mean that every day that ends in Y should be some time spent with the guy in the sky? Doesn't that just, it just gotta mean that, right? So daily, closer to the Lord. And then by closer to the Lord, you and him. I love that people listen to the radio show. Don't get weird on me, okay? I love that people go to great churches, right? I love that people, it's phenomenal. I watched some of that, the Lake Point that Aunt Deb was talking about, their baptisms. I watched some of that on Saturday. I love that people connect in all those ways. That's not the same as going into the closet, closing the door, and saying, hello, Lord. Get it? Okay. That's the key. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 I'm going to say this 1,000 times over. I promise you, with all that's going on, the goofiness at all the campuses and in the government and in politics and in media and in Hollywood and in academia, in all of it, right? The goal underlined is to make any Bible-believing, born-again Christian ashamed of the Word of God. Never. Not only do these people have nowhere else, nowhere to put you after they die, but where they're going, you don't want to be unless they repent and turn to the Lord. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, right? Always be ready. Whether you're the same denomination or not means nothing. Do you love Jesus? Yeah? Then Jesus wants you to be a servant. That's what everything means. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. That's the example he set for us. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. That is our individual Christian DNA, what we are made of. Okay? All right. Back to the trivia question, then I'm going to jump into the teaching because we just got lots to cover. From which book comes the phrase, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Is that Matthew 7:15 or John 7:15, if you think you know? 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I just want to do a pre-runner on this Genesis 4. We talked the other week about the Eden boys, and that would be Cain and Abel. Verse 4 was the one we understood that Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. It says that when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain was a farmer. At harvest time, Cain brought to the Lord a gift from his farm produce, while Abel brought several choice lambs from the best of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but did not accept Cain and his offering. This made Cain very angry and very dejected. There is a school of thought out there that the offering should have been for the lamb or for the particular type of animal that God wanted for the sin offering, which would later be revealed in the Leviticus law. And the answer to that is wrong answer. You're thinking, Dave, you can't just say that. Wrong answer. Nothing in any text here says that. That's number one. And number two, in the Levitical law, both produce from the ground and animals from the farm were a part of the offering process. So, no, that's just wrong. It's just wrong, okay? It had nothing to do with it whatsoever. I just want to make that point. Now, before I exit, I have to finish the trivia question because Jacob had a pink ping pong ball in his hand. And if I don't, then he gets the chance to throw it. So I'm going to answer it for everybody before that. Is that pretty good? I'm covering it up pretty good, right? From which book comes the phrase, wolf in sheep's clothing? Is that Matthew 7:15 or was that John 7:15? And the answer is Matthew 7:15. Jesus talking about hypocrisy and hypocrites, people who are acting not the best range of people. Like wolf in sheep's clothing. Oh, look, it's a nice little sheepy. Yeah, maybe not. Get it? All right, great. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get the specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to scripture and according to testimony. To the law and to the testimony, the scripture says. To the prophets and to the testimony. Here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. You are being forewarned that these trivia questions might get a little tougher. I'm telling you now. I want you to be aware of it. I want you to hear what I have to say. Could be a little tougher. From which book comes the phrase, a drop in the bucket? Is that from Job chapter 40, verse 15, or Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15? From which book comes the phrase, a drop in the bucket? Would that be Job 40:15 or Isaiah 40:15? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I have been gone for a while, and I have not had a chance to do some of the things that I would like to do. So I have a couple of jokes that we are going to tell. And for those that are not familiar with the format on the show, it's called the David Spoon Experience. And if you're going to listen to it, it's going to be an experience. Okay, that's kind of the nicest. That's the nicest way to say I get to tell jokes on my own show. All right, you ready? One, two, I got one, two, three, four. Okay?
All right. Alrighty.
All right, here we go. I got two that are nature and two that are sports. Okay? We've been telling you ahead of time.
Okay, okay.
All right, here we go. What doesn't get any wetter no matter how hard it rains? The ocean. Because it doesn't get any wetter. That's a pretty good one. This one I actually like. What tree is always unhappy? What tree is always unhappy?
The blue spruce.
You're killing me, Smalls. Okay.
All right. These are two baseball ones. They're very fast. What is the best day of the week to play a doubleheader? What's the best day of the week to play a doubleheader? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Tuesday. See, doubleheader. Tuesday. Okay.
You serious, Clark?
Okay. Here's the last one. What's the biggest diamond in the world? A baseball diamond. Come on. That's pretty good. All right. Here we go.
I'll give you that one because I do like baseball.
Yeah. See, that's a good one right there. All right. Your trivia question. That's right, folks. This is how we roll. Your trivia question is, where's my trivia book? There it is. From which book comes the phrase, a drop in the bucket? Is that from Job chapter 40, verse 15, or Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's get ready, because here we are in the next portion talking about, as you guys know, the Eden boys, and that would be Abel and Cain. So here's what takes place, and we want to really focus in on this part of it right here. Here's what it says. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain was a farmer. At harvest time, Cain brought to the Lord a gift from his farm produce, while Abel brought several choice lambs from the best of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but did not accept Cain and his offering. This made Cain very angry and dejected, right? His wasn't received. Verse 6, "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked him. I just want you to stop. I don't think people realize this, but God Almighty, the creator of the universe, directly asked Cain, the soon-to-be first murderer, right, a question. Directly. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked him. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you respond in the right way." Did you see that? Do you see that? I want you to see that. I want you to make sure you see that. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. "You will be accepted if you respond in the right way." That's a critical theological point. Enormous. Oh, it has to do with hamartiology and soteriology. It's so important. This is a profound lesson for every Christian, as well as every person that's ever walked the earth. God has already acknowledged man blew it. They blew it before. Adam and Eve blew it. Doesn't matter. I mean, this is, you're talking years and years later. Now Cain is a child from Adam and Eve. And you'll find out there's other children, but Adam and Eve were one and two. There's no question about that, because Eve was called the mother of all living. There's zero question on that, that they're the first two. We don't, it's not, it doesn't necessitate that there weren't others along with Cain and Abel. That's ridiculous. But here's the key. God is telling him, look, you guys already blew it. Look, but don't do that. Don't have that attitude. If you respond in the right way, you'll be accepted. That's what redemption, by the way, is all about. See, God wasn't thinking they were going to be sinless. They already were birthed in sin. It's too late. That's why we depend on the blood of Jesus Christ to make us right. But look at what God is looking for. Look at what God is challenging Cain in. How do we respond when we do right, wrong, or nothing at all? That's the ticket. If you do wrong and you respond with repentance, remember I said earlier in the show, we're going to be visiting a church that one of their core tenets is to be quick to repent. Because you're just going, you know what, I made a mistake, I was wrong. It's only pride that keeps us from doing that. Arrogance, self-righteousness that keeps us from going, that was stupid. Do you know how many thousands of times I said stupid things? I talk for a living. It's unbelievable. And sometimes I just go, ask, I'm sorry, Lord. I thought I did the best I could. You know, and that's it. But so if we respond, how do we respond? Whether something right, something wrong, or nothing at all. God is telling us we'll be accepted if we respond with the right heart, the right mind, and the right way. If we will respond to God with the right, and so when you're doing something and the Lord challenges you and you find out you're doing wrong, the worst thing that you can do is go, well, hold on now, what about this person? Or what about that guy? Or, you know, if only you'd have given me this, or what about this? All that stuff is rubbish. Rubbish. You just tell the Lord, yeah, you're right. You're never going to win the argument. I don't even know why anybody even tries. Nobody wins an argument with God. I mean, that's just dumb, since he's all-knowing. That's really just impossible. Sometimes he likes to be pursued, so he'll let you be pursuant in the faith and persistent. But you're not going to, it's not going to be, I'm right, God's wrong. If the Lord calls you on the carpet on something, just eat the pie. You know what? Eat the pie so you don't have to moo like a cow. I think Nebuchadnezzar would back me up on that one. And it's like, no, yeah, I did that wrong. And so God's telling, and you know what you don't see in this taught a lot? At least I don't hear it taught a lot. This is a moment of grace. you know, you think about this story. You got Cain and Abel. There's like, this is like the worst thing. This is the first murder, right? It's terrible, right? Well, God is giving Cain a moment of grace. He's like, dude. Well, okay, he didn't say dude. But he's like, why are you so dejected? Why are you so angry? You'll be accepted if you respond the right way with the right spirit. He's giving him the out. Unfortunately, the dude, this time I can say dude, the dude doesn't take it. All right, now the trivia question. The trivia question was, which book in the Bible, or which of these two books, has the phrase, a drop in the bucket? A drop in the bucket. Is that Job 40:15 or Isaiah 40:15? And the answer is Isaiah 40:15. That would be the answer. Okay? All right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty, and as with every...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. Another challenging question. I like these challenging type of questions. Here you go. From which book, another one of those, Dave. From which book comes the phrase, can a leopard change his spots? Is that Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? What? From which book comes the phrase, can a leopard change his spots? Is it Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, as we often do in this position. I want to remind people there's an opportunity to give. We're not going to give you a whistle or a donut or a Lamborghini. We're not going to take a book, anoint it, and say it's super anointed because I anointed it. That ain't going to happen. None of that's going to happen. We're not going to take a penny and put it in acrylic and say we'll give you something so you'll never be penniless. That's not what we're doing. We're asking you if you want to give, give. And if you don't, don't. And the bottom line is you'll get a receipt at the end of the year because we're a nonprofit corporation. That's it. But if you want to help us advance the ministry and keep the ministry going, we need that. There you go. Okay. Keeping that simple. Got it. All right, then. So if you want to check it out, and you're welcome to, reach out to us if you have any questions. But go to the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Gotta rehearse my song. Whoa! What the doo da dee doo dee 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 that's kind of pretty before it gets started, ain't it? Oh, frog money, Gordon, he did ride Crambo.
That is so funny. You did both of those?
Yeah, I made both. You know what that's from?
No, it sounds like it's from I'm not going to say it, but it sounds like it's from Howdy Doody or something. Where's it from?
It's from Tom and Jerry.
Is it really?
When Jerry's uncle comes to visit, he has a guitar. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Those are hilarious. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say those are. I'm sorry, folks. If you don't think that's hilarious, I don't know that I can help you. That's hilarious. All right. Let's carry on. I'm going to redo the trivia. I'm going to tell you a little bit of story about what's going on, and then we'll get into the next segment of teaching, which is superbly fascinating, I think, at least from my perspective. Your trivia question, we are at the trivia question, where does the phrase, the book, which book comes this phrase, can a leopard change his spots? Is it Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? So they're common everyday phrases that you find out had their origin in the Bible.
Interesting, Dave.
So can a leopard change his spots? Is that from Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We will try to get to history in the next segment. We'll see if we can get there. In the meantime, I'll tell you something happening on the move. There's two things that I'm going to say. They aren't even the big things, but they are pretty wild. The first is on Thursday, we had somebody visit from – somebody attends our church, him and their art son. It was Eric and his son. And just so you can know, they were a wonderful help. So I mean, I just wanted to let people know. So Grant, who is Eric's son – and Eric came to help because they're a little closer, I think, geographically, and we needed a little bit of help. So they drove all the way out to Fate and then helped us bring a load back, him and Grant. So let me say this. That was super cool. That was super blessing. And then we missed something that the Lord did. So have you ever done cool things, had great things happen, and then just not catch that the Lord did something cool in the process? That happened, and I want to confess that. Sin, oversight maybe, yeah. I mean, be more honest. But here's really what happened. So we loaded up, and we did a light load on Thursday, okay? But we wanted to take over some essentials because if you had been watching the news at all, and then, of course, this weekend was a massive weather issues, on Friday and the entire week ahead, the entire week before that, and on the very day, it was supposed to pour rain. the guy who owns the house that we're renting from said, I'm so sorry you're having to move on a rainy day. Okay? Let me just let that, okay? Anyway, let's go back to Thursday, and then we'll deal with Friday. So Thursday, we're going from our house to the new place, our house to the old house to the new house. And Noel's like, I got no gas. I said, well, how many miles do you have? How many you got? You know how you have your little Ranger thing that tells you how long you can go? I mean, most cars have that nowadays. Not everyone, but most cars. And she said, I have 80 miles that I can make. And I said, well, you know, the house is 39 from this location, maybe 40 from this location. So I said, you'll be good, and then we'll get you to a gas station. Okay? Now, there's nothing weird about that. That's everything normal, right? We drive. We get there. I text Noel just before we arrive at the house. How many gallons or how many miles do you have left? Does it say you can still go? You know what she said? I'm not even kidding. 78. I'm like, what do you mean 78? She's like, I have 78 miles left. I said, you can't have 78 miles left. We had 80 when you left the house. She goes, I have 78 miles left. I'm telling you. We didn't even think about it till afterwards when we talked about it. And it's like, okay, she must have been wrong. Okay, so then she saw 120 as 80. See, in other words, that doesn't work. There's a kind of a weird.
And right,
so
right.
That reminds me of the story of the gal that put in the gas. And it's, you know, it's, listen, we're still working through this. And you're thinking that could never happen. And so I already know that's not true because when we went through the early oil crisis in 1977, in 1978, this gal testified in church that she put her, you know, gasoline in there and said, Lord, how you can get us through this oil crisis? Because the gas had gone up. Now, keep in mind, gone up back then was a lot different than gone up now. And she put in, she was completely empty. She put in about $2 worth that she thought was $2 worth. The gas started overflowing out of her little spigot thing, and it filled up completely under $2. And the Lord said, that's how. It's just like the Lord filled her tank. And you're thinking, how can that be? Well, I don't know. The dude can change water into wine. I think he can do whatever he wants. That's the whole God thing, remember? So we're thinking that might have been like a real creative miracle that took place. So we just didn't have any issues whatsoever. And we'll take it.
Oh, wow.
People might think that's crazy. It's like, yeah, but if you know Noelle, she's not crazy. I'm crazy. She's not. Okay? So if it happened to her, it's got more validity. Just say that.
See, I thought you were going to say the opposite, where you're like, how many miles? Two.
No, it was so weird. It was just like, it's almost like we just had, and what we really came down on this move is we had grace on grace on grace on grace on grace. And I want to thank everybody who prayed for us because we had a lot of challenging moments, just like any move would be. But just to remind you, on Friday, you know the total amount of rain time we spent in with the movers in the rain? 25 seconds. That's all it rained. See, that's pretty good. See, because it was supposed to rain 25 seconds. It rained on my car, and it rained while they were in the house getting stuff. It's like, wow.
Now, I'm trying to think. It rained a lot Friday, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just around.
Not for us. The first guys that will tell you, the people that helped us move, her parents paid for the move, the first guys that will tell you it didn't rain was them. Because they were like, yeah, it was supposed to rain. I don't know. I was just like, praise the Lord. That's all I kept saying, praise the Lord. So between, you know, the Fate area and then Corinth, Denton, it didn't rain at all. It was like, okay.
So besides actually having to move stuff, end up being a pretty good weekend, right?
Wait till you hear the last thing is the most amazing thing. I might not tell it today because it's super, it's angelic powerful. So we'll just wait and see on that one. All right, let me finish this story. I didn't want to get too much caught up in that, but let's do this real quickly. And this is a big deal, something the Lord showed me way, 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 way before, and then we'll do the trivia question. Remember, the trivia question is which book is the phrase, can a leopard change his spots? Is it Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? Yeah, we have stuff like that happen. And yes, they have been written down. Here is this next text, though, that God addresses Cain with. When he says, why are you so angry, the Lord asks him. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you respond in the right way. Now, here's the key. But if you refuse to respond correctly, then watch out. Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. Again, in the story of the first murder, is grace again. And you're thinking, how can it be grace? Because God's telling him, look, Cain, you're angry and you're dejected. Well, that's just fine and dandy, but this is going to create a lot of problems for you. This is like amazing hamartiology, which is the study of sin, gives an immediate clue to the process for mankind fighting against sin itself. Sin wants you. It's hungry for you. It desires you. For those who don't understand this type of language, sin has an appetite. In the process of fighting against sin, God warns Cain, says sin has an appetite. It's hungry for you. And if you feed it, it will continually try to get more and more. This warning is not just for Cain, it's for you and me. God even tells Cain, it will consume you. You must subdue it. Because they have given birth to sin, Adam and Eve, and sin now is in the framework of mankind, and sin has an appetite. That's why there's lust. Get it? When we talk appetite, we're not talking food, although food could be one of them. It's the insatiable appetite that is never satisfied. Yeah, we've talked about this before. Remember they wrote the Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction? That's because of sin. And God warns them, you got to watch this. This is bad for bad news for you, buddy. Bad, bad, bad news. It's going to consume you. And once it consumes you, it's going to get way worse. Think about that. God is telling Cain, don't go down this road. Don't do. Oh, you're gonna be sorry, dude. You're gonna be sorry. Wow. All right. Which book comes from does the phrase "a drop in the bucket" come from? Is it Jeremiah? I'm sorry. That's drop in the bucket. Is that from what did we say? Wrong one. Which can a leopard change his spot? Sorry, see, I get those confused too. See, it's not a perfect show. Well, which book is Can a Leopard Change His Spot? Is that Jeremiah 13:23 or Ezekiel 13:23? And the answer is Jeremiah 13:23 is where it says can a leopard change his spots? Get it? Okay. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. Custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives? Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that's you just know, this is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that, right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing, right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, "What's why does she, you know, jump on you like that?" I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. My anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. And we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others? And are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Final trivia question. You guys should get this one because there's a hint in it immediately. From which book comes the phrase, "Woe is me"? Is that from Isaiah 6:5 or Jonah 6:5? The phrase, "Woe is me." And that's how you know the name of the horse. What's his name? Woe. Woe is me. Here it is. Isaiah 6:5, Jonah 6:5. Woe is me. Where does that come from? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I just mapped the difference between the old house and the new house, just so I can see it. 59.5 miles.
Wow. Yeah, you'll be saving gas.
No. Let me rephrase. That's my fault. From when Noel went in the car 80 miles and it was 2 miles. It was, yeah, was that what you were saying? Did I misunderstand you?
I thought you were talking about
That's it. No, so when we went on Thursday from our old house to the new house, that was 59.5 miles to the house, and then she only had two gallons that were 2 miles.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Right. I thought you were saying from here to the new home.
No. So that's, but isn't that amazing though? It's like, how do you go from, oh, I got 80 miles left to I got 78 miles left after driving 60 miles. I'm just going to ask that question. People are like, you're losing it. Nope. This is my life, man. This is kingdom graces, grace upon grace. You guys know that passage, don't you? Okay. Just checking. All right. So anyway, woe is me. Is that Jonah? Is that Jonah chapter 6, verse 5? Or is woe is me? Is that Isaiah 6, 5? And again, I want to just thank everybody for praying because your prayers were answered. And I greatly appreciate everybody praying. We've had people praying all over the place. All right, if you think you know where it comes from, woe is me. What book is that from? Isaiah 6, 5 or Jonah 6, 5? There's a hint there. Think about the book of Jonah and how long it is. 972-445-0770. 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Our time is super tight, so I want to got to get to this. All right, here we go. There's this last part, and we're going to revisit this next week because I can't rush all of it. It's just not possible. But after the very end where the Lord says to Cain, he says, you know, hey, sin is waiting to attack and destroy you. You must subdue it. Verse 8, later, Cain suggested to his brother, Abel, let's go out into the fields. And while they were there, Cain attacked and killed his brother. Okay, we're just going to stop that there on purpose. And here's what I want you to catch. God tells Cain, don't be dejected. Don't have that attitude. Have the right response when something's confronting you. If you give into this, you're going to give into sin, and sin is going to consume you, and sin is going to create great problems for your life. In Cain's mind, Listen to what I'm telling you. This is so important. You just got to get this. In Cain's mind, he rationalized. He rationalized that killing his brother was a better result than obeying God. And what people do when the Lord confronts them or challenges them is they have to make a decision. Of course, God knows what the decision is. That's why he's omniscient. But God is telling him, don't go down that road. It would be a disastrous road for you. And Cain goes down that road. So God warned him twice. And then he's in his brain, he's thinking it's a better result to kill Abel than to obey God. And that's the pollution of sin. Now, I don't know who doesn't preach sin. And if they don't preach about sin, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But here's what I'm going to say. Sin pollutes our mind, and then it gives us rationale for doing things that are absurd. That's what sin does. Sin is like burrowing into our hearts and minds and then trying to get us to go for more and more and more of this polluted, absurd process of thought. Instead of just obeying God. And the result of those sins are the same as the result of the sins when Adam and Eve broke covenant with God, when Adam and Eve got tossed out of the garden, when they were no longer innocent, when they came into a concept of shame. All of that was a result of sin. And now sin is so polluted in the stream and the blood of humanity that the rationale of killing somebody is better than just saying, yes, God. That's how far and how deep it can get. And people are like, well, I don't know why people kill each other. I don't know why people do these weird things. I don't know why people hurt children. I don't know why that type of thing. It's because the pollution of sin is so intense that it gives people a rationale for doing the unthinkable. That's why. That's why we need grace. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we need healing. That's why it was Isaiah who said, woe is me, for your trivia answer. Because which book did it come from? Is it Isaiah or Jonah? Jonah only has four chapters, so it couldn't be Jonah 6:5. There's only four chapters in there. Isaiah 6:5. Did I get that? All right. Don't let sin pollute your mind. Come to the Lord to get the forgiveness you need. Get it? Through Jesus Christ. Okay, folks. See you in 22 and a half hours. What a show. God bless ya.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.